Okay, we run it. 1 Samuel 15, and we're going to begin at verse 1. We're going to do some reading, but I'm going to read real fast, but not too fast, but you can't keep up with me because I want to cover this ground, but I got a lot of points I need to give you because there's another set of scripture you want to look at that can correspond with these over in Matthew 26. And for your topic tonight or for your heading, we're talking about obedience to God's will is the greatest demand of the Bible. Obedience to God's will is the greatest demand of the Bible. Okay, 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, you with me? The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Then said the Lord of hosts, remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how that he laid in wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have, and spare them not, but slay them, both man and woman, infant and suckling, and sheep, camel, and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men in Judah. And Saul came in the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get thee down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy thee with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest unto Shore that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, underline this, the king of the Amalekite, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And Saul and the people spared Agag, and underline this, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatling, and the lamb, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, in other words, weren't worthy, that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and had not performed my commandment. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told him, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he has set up a place, and is going about, and is passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandments of the Lord. And Samuel said, well, what meaneth this of the bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wert little in thy own sight, was not thou made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee to be king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed, they be consumed. Wherefore then thou didst not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. And the people took the spoil, the sheep and the oxen, and the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, had the Lord great delight in burnt offering and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord, and the words, and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sins, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And I'm not going to read, y'all finish reading that, because that chapter is so important to what this lesson is about tonight, because you're going to see some things happen, and God tried to get his will done in the earth realm, but you couldn't get it done totally without total obedience. Half obedience is not obedience. You see, partial obedience is not satisfactory to the Lord. You see, if you're going to obey, you got to obey the whole counsel of God. And we're going to see this. But when we talk about this, I want you just to relate this to your personal life, because that's what this is all about. You're going to transfer these truths from the Bible into your life. Amen. And to where you are, and to what God has you doing, and the part you're playing in the family of God. Yeah. You're on assignment. Amen. Every one of us in here are on assignment for the Lord, and we have to obey him to carry out his assignment. Amen. But I want to read these notes. I want to get it to you, because I'm trying to get somewhere. And that's why I did so much reading. But I want to read enough so you can get a whole idea of what's going on. Are you ready?
Yes.
Get ready to write. When an order is given from heaven to earth, and that's just what Samuel did to Saul. It was a heaven order given to Samuel, because God wanted to bring a change or shifting in the earth realm through Saul. Sometimes when God wants to bring a change, a shifting in the earth realm through you. And we're going to find out that it's important that you obey God in everything. Listen to this. The greatest demand on man is for him to obey. The greatest demand on man is not for him to bear the cross, even though bearing the cross is part of what God wants to do. We should bear our cross. Mm-hmm. Or to serve, and we should serve. Or to make offering, and we should make offerings. Or to deny ourselves, and we should deny ourselves. Mm-hmm. But the greatest demand is for man to obey. Carry out God's order to the fullest. And let me give you a definition of obey. Simple definition, but it brings it home. Obey means to do what someone tells you to do or what a rule or law says you must do. Simple definition. To do what someone tells you to do, that's obeying. Or what a rule or law says you must do. To conform to conform, C-O-N-F-O-R-M, to conform to or comply with or to obey an order. And Saul was given a direct order from God. God ordered Saul to attack the Amalekites and destroy them utterly. You know what utterly mean? Completely. He was supposed to devastate these people because God gave him definite instruction. I want you to slay both man, woman, infant. He went on to a detailed list of all Saul was supposed to destroy. And God says what he mean and what? And he mean what he said. Because, you know, how it might sound like light instruction, but God had a purpose for these instructions. I'm saying this in twofold. Your instruction may seem light that God gives you, but God have a purpose in those light seeming destruction. It may seem light to you, but God has a purpose in it. Amen. So anything God tells you to do, don't take it lightly, because it's part of his plan in his heaven to earth government. And so when you make void what God tell you to do, mm-hmm. something became void upon the earth. Mm-hmm. Remember that. Mm-hmm. A spiritual change or a spiritual transaction did not happen on earth because of your failure to comply. It's more serious than we think. Obedience is more serious than we think. So don't take anything that God says lightly. All right? Now, just like the Lord anointed Saul to be king, now this is the word I made up, he can unanoint him. Now, I want you to take a hold of that. Just like God had Samuel to anoint Saul mm-hmm. to be king, mm-hmm. God came back and said, it repented me that I made Saul king. I'm sorry, I made. Now, for God to say something like that, I thought about that statement. It repented me. Oh, I'm sorry that I made Saul king. See, God look at intent.
Yes, sir.
God intends you to carry out his will.
And
when you don't, God has your best interest at heart, that you can do what he's saying. See, God don't intend for you to turn on him. God don't intend for you to change your direction on him. God's intention that you follow him fully. But when you turn from him, it's like you're rejecting his command. And when you could reject his command, something from heaven to earth is not getting done.
Wow.
And something is left void upon the earth
wow.
of completion. Now, can God do it another? Yes, God can do it another way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he told Apostle one time that a certain man wasn't his first choice.
Mm-hmm.
You see it? So what I'm saying is sometimes when God chooses a man to do something, or choose you to do something, you may not be the first choice. The first person he gave the assignment to failed.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Would not fully obey, so God had to get someone else to carry it out.
Mm-hmm.
You see it? God intended Saul to continue being king.
Yes, sir.
He would hope that he would not have to choose a David.
Mm-hmm.
But he did.
Yeah.
So make sure that God don't have to unanoint you.
Amen.
No, carry out your assignment.
Yes, sir.
Do what God told you to do.
Yes, sir.
Don't let the people get in your way like they turned Saul another way.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I let the people turn me. No, you king.
Mm-hmm.
You're in control of these people.
Absolutely.
You should have authority over these people. You should say, no, that's not my instruction. And when people try to turn you another way, you need to let them know, nope, this is not what God told me.
Right.
a little obedience is not going to cut it. Full obedience is going to cut it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to be fully obedient. Mm-hmm. And so you don't get paid for starting off. You get paid for finishing the assignment.
Amen.
You see, always have your heart toward the completion of an assignment.
Yes,
I don't want to fail my assignment. You? No, you don't want to fail. You don't want to have a misstep.
Amen.
You want to do it right the first time.
Yes,
you see? You know, I do work in the ministry, and I don't like to come back and redo something. It hurt my heart when I got to come back because I left something undone. Well, you didn't see this? No, ma'am, I didn't see that. Forgive me. I would like to do it right the first time. It hurt my heart when I don't do it right the first time. My intentions are to do it right the first time. You know, our human side, sometimes, you know, we forget, we make shortcuts or whatever the event is. We don't do it right, but make your intention to do it right the first time. All right. So don't let God have to unanoint you. All right?
Amen.
Now, after his victory, Saul spared Agag. You saw that in the scripture, right?
Mm-hmm.
King of the Amalekites, along with the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatted beef and the lamb and all that was good. It was Saul on decision. Now, see, that's a good point there. It wasn't God's decision. It was Saul's own decision to spare the life of Agag. Saul's own decision to spare the best of the sheep and the oxen and everything that he spared. See, God left no exceptions in his order.
Amen.
God meant what he said. And God don't need us to alter his plan.
That's right. Amen.
And let me bring that down to earth. Sometimes you're given an assignment. Your pastor, your leader, whoever in authority, giving you an assignment, don't put your good ideas in it. What do you mean? Don't change the idea. Say, I think it looks better like this. No, it don't look better like that. It look better like they say to do it. But some of us get so smart. The apostle say that tonight. You know, we say, oh, let's make it a little more excellent. No, they didn't tell you to do it like that. But let me put my little touch. No, don't put your touch on it. Do it just like they say do it. They got a reason for doing it like that. We're going to get down the road. We're going to call it strange fire. Strange fire and doing what you were not ordered to do. Just like the sons of Levi. I mean, they were priests. And they were trying to offer sacrifice because they saw their fathers do it. And they were burned. The Lord burned them with the fire that was supposed to burn the sacrifice because they were trying to do it without an order. Make sure you got a spiritual thing. Make sure you got a, don't just do things. Make sure you got an order to do it. That good heavenly instruction will take you a long way. Keep you from a rebuke and from sitting down for a little while. Sometimes people got to sit down a little while because they move too fast.
Uh-huh.
So, no, you got to slow down a little bit. Slow down a little bit. Sit down until you're ready to obey. Like I say, obey.
Mm-hmm.
See, we got to do it right.
Yes.
All right. Now, look, I got the most, but I don't know if I'm going to finish. Don't permit, listen to this. Don't permit your sacrifice to become a substitute for obedience. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Don't permit your sacrifice. Instead of doing what you're supposed to do, you're going to do something else like Saul did. That became a substitute for his obedience because he didn't obey fully. He put his own ideas in it, and he put his own touch on it. And if you read and study, it was all for selfish purposes. You remember when Samuel went to look for Saul, and then they told him what Saul was? Anybody got another translation? I want somebody to read it for me to find out where they saw that set up a place. If you got another translation like the NIV or the Good News Bible, you know what it says? Saul went set up a monument. He set up a monument to give himself praise and credit.
Oh, wow.
Because he did it for a selfish reason.
Wow.
To make himself, to get praise of the men and to get praise to look good.
Mm-hmm.
He did it out of pride. He did it out of winning the people. You see it? He didn't do it with God in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people don't do things with God in mind. They do it with their own selfish devices and,
mm-hmm.
and their own little, to make themselves look good.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the good. That's not good for following.
Amen.
Don't never make yourself look good.
Amen.
If you want to make somebody look good, make your spiritual leader look
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
I just threw that out there. You don't want your thumbprint on it.
Amen.
You see it? In other words, you don't want no accolade thrown your way. You rather do it and hide your hand. It's not about you.
Amen.
It's about you serving.
Amen.
Your time coming. Your time coming to be recognized, but it's not about being recognized. It's about obeying and follow orders. It's almost like behind the curtains. You know, these people put these big productions on, but you don't never see the people that work behind the curtain.
Right.
And y'all started watch the movie and start the credit. They run them credit by so fast, you don't know who these people were. But the actors, they put in big bold, right? The major leaders.
Right.
Well, that's what that was all about. These people making these other people look good.
That's true.
Yeah. So our job was to make our spiritual leaders look good.
Amen.
Saul's job was to make God look good.
That's right.
You see it? Let me back up a little bit and tell you why it was so important that Saul, I skip over it because I didn't think I was supposed to read that. But I see I have to read it. Let me back up and find it here. Because I asked a question here, but I didn't get a chance to read it. Here it is. Why was it so important that King Saul, for King Saul to destroy the Amalekites? See, I should have asked that. God wanted the incident to be remembered so that future generations will realize that he, not the Israelite, defeated the Amalekites.
Amen.
It was all about him.
Amen.
So the people know that God is my deliverer and not Saul. You see?
Yeah.
See, Saul will make it look like I'm the deliverer. I'm the one that killed all the... See, I got the King Agag here alive. No, he was supposed to kill King Agag.
Right.
Now, if you keep reading further, in 1 Samuel 15, you're going to find out that Samuel had to get a sword.
Mm-hmm.
You read it. Read it for yourself. Samuel had to get a sword and kill Agag. And kill, slaughter all the best of the sheep. Why would Saul want to sacrifice to God something God told him to destroy? I thought about that a little bit. If God didn't want it, and God wanted to destroy it, why sacrifice it to him? That was a dishonor. Oh, yeah. It was a dishonor for God to receive something that God told him to destroy. As far as God concerned, all the live was vile. And unworthy, and not good enough to use.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dishonor to God.
Amen.
But he did it. He wanted to sacrifice not so much to honor God, but to honor himself.
Mm-hmm.
It was a self sacrifice.
Yeah.
You see, are you seeing what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So in your personal life, see, let Saul be an example of what I don't want to be. Now, God did use him in some places. You see it? But God did use him in some places. A man asked me a question one time, and that question rang in my heart for a long time. I didn't understand it. Remember, I said Saul probably did some good things in the past. But a man asked me, he said, Ronald, he said, I guess past faithfulness don't count. It hit me for a while. I said, no, it don't. is what you do in the day. You can be faithful yesterday and not faithful today. Yeah. God honored. God, you bless God when you did what's right. But you got to keep on doing right.
Amen.
Yeah, but I was faithful back then, but are you faithful now?
My God.
Yeah, I obeyed my pastor back then, but are you obeying him now?
Amen. That's right.
I hope I'm helping somebody. And this is the whole truth. You got to continue in faithfulness. You got to have a faithful record. You got to have a faithful track record. You remember Moses? We're going to get to that. In the 12th chapter. What 12th chapter? I forget what book this is here. On Numbers. When Miriam reviled against Moses. The Bible says Moses was faithful in all my house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he ain't talking about he said all his house. In other words, Moses continued in faithfulness.
Yes.
He didn't start out in faithfulness. His faithfulness ran his old course.
Yes.
You see? So remain faithful.
Amen.
Remain faithful to what God called you to do.
Amen.
Don't let nobody pull you like these people pull Saul. From one side to the other and pull him so much they got him out of the will of God.
Right.
Don't let nobody take you out of the will of God. People are trying to put things in your ear to get you out of the will of God.
Amen.
Don't let nobody turn your heart from your spiritual leader.
Amen.
I'm telling the truth. Remain faithful. Okay, so God was supposed to get the glory in the whole thing. And let me get back to where I was now. So God can unanoint you. We find that out. And God wanted no exception left out in his orders.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't permit sacrifice to become a substitute for obedience.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what Samuel told Saul. And mark this down. But Samuel said to him, behold, obedience is what? It's better than sacrifice. Now, obedience... We read the definition of obedience. It means to obey in order. What God was telling Samuel to tell Saul, he said, I'd rather if you obey me than you giving me a sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
You, because that's not really what I want
mm-hmm.
right now.
Yes,
if I want a sacrifice, I'll ask for one. But all I'm asking for now is your obedience to obey this order here. You see, if you obey this order, I mean, that would have been a sacrifice for me right there.
Amen.
That would have been an offering that I would enjoy. See, oh my goodness, I just stumbled upon something. When you obey God, that's one of the greatest offerings you can give him.
Wow. Amen.
You hear that?
Yes, sir.
When you obedient, God said that's one of the most sweet smelling savor offering that I ever had. When you can obey me with all your heart. You see it? Remember I said that.
Yes, sir.
All right? Never permit people to turn or to alter the vision with their own thoughts or ideas. See, sometimes... You can alter a vision that God had given us a church, a local church, by doing what you think needs to be done without any direction from spiritual leaders.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna see, can I say that again? Sometimes you can alter a vision and change it all more into your vision.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. I'm trying to put it another way. Sometimes people are given assignments, you know, over projects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes you can't do everything yourself as a spiritual leader, so you got to trust people to be able to do things with your heart in mind.
Yes.
And sometimes people, I'm touching some things now. Sometimes people have been with you a while, and you trust them so much that you give them a little rope. But sometimes they take too much rope. and it turned it into something else. They turned it into something that you don't even recognize. Say, what's this? That's not what I ordered. Oh, yeah, but I thought this is the way it should look better like this. It goes better like this, easier like this. But I didn't ask you for what's easier or look better or go better. I'm trying to say some things to help us because sometimes you're altering something and you don't know what you're altering in the spirit realm. You can take it right out of the vision. Take the vision right out of what God ordered. And then God, sometimes God don't reckon. God said, well, this ain't what I organized. Well, how did this guy so far off track? And you wonder how you got off track. You wonder how the thing turned another way. Because the people took it another way. Because they thought it should have went another way, but then what God ordered. So visionaries got to keep their hands closed to people that are working with them. Because if you don't, sometimes they might be working against you and don't know it. I'm telling the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help us God. See, this kind of teaching make you stay in support of ministry a long time.
Yes, amen.
You don't want to get fired from help.
Yes,
I don't want to get fired from being a help.
Amen.
No. If a pastor give me an assignment, I'm gonna stick with it just like he said, get it.
Amen.
If he change it, that's the only way he's gonna get changed. Amen. You know, he always tell us, he said, why did you stop doing this?
Yes, sir.
I didn't tell nobody to stop. He said, if I tell you to do something, you keep doing it like I tell you. Don't you stop it unless I stop it.
Yes.
You see it? And so, because sometimes people just, I don't know, just think it's supposed to stop. That's enough of that. No, you can't do that. All right. Why did Samuel say that obedience is better than sacrifice? See, this is a good test question here. Why did Samuel say that obedience is better than sacrifice? Here it is. Here's the answer. Y'all ready for it? And just go along. This is what I'm saying here. Because even in sacrifice, there can be an element of self-will present. You see it? You know what self-will is, huh? We talked about self-will. Did we talk about self-will yet? Must be last year class. But self-will is when you take God's will and do it your way. Because even in sacrifice, there can be an element of self-will present.
Mm-hmm.
It might be just a little tint. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little tint where it don't even matter. Look like.
Mm-hmm.
But God recognized it. See, God deal with people's heart. God don't deal with the product.
Mm-hmm.
God deal with the product of your heart. You can make a little turn in your heart, God said, oh, I'm gonna mark that.
Yeah.
See, but the product might look good.
Yeah.
But God marking that heart. You see it? So you see the accuracy in the spirit when it comes to obedience. They have to be done. You just don't, it's just not a 1, 2, 3. It has to be done with 1, 2, 3 with accuracy.
Yes.
Now, obedience alone is absolutely honoring to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it again. Obedience alone, underline the word alone, A-L-O-N-E, obedience by itself. Is absolutely honoring to God. In other words, if that's all you give God, God says, I'm satisfied with you. Obedience alone is absolutely honoring to God. We think we got to add something else. No. For it alone, this is why. For it alone, what? Obedience alone takes God's will as its center.
Mm-hmm.
That's why obedience alone takes God's will as Lord. All I want to do is obey you. If you can get If God can get that kind of cooperation out of his children, you and God is all right.
Amen.
You and God is A-OK. If obedience alone becomes your sinner, nothing else. God said, don't add nothing else to it. God said, if you just do what I say. Now, think about it. Obedience is so easy. It's not hard to obey. The only time it's hard to obey is when you get mixed up in it. If you can die to instructions, what do you mean die to instructions? Just take the instruction and don't mix nothing with it, it becomes easy. But when your thoughts get mixed up in something, you see, your ideas get mixed up in something. You voluntarily wanna add things to something. There's a scripture that's trying to come up, but ain't come up yet, that deal with adding to things. In God said one time that's not what I ordered. I'm gonna find it before the school ain't over. But do it like God said. All right. Now, for authority to be expressed, there must be subjection. There's no authority without somebody to submit to that authority. If there is to be subjection, you know what subjection is, huh? Submission. Self, S-E-L-F, needs to be excluded. And that's all I'm trying to say. If there is to be subjection, self needs to be excluded. You need to die. But according to one's self-life, subjection is not possible. If you still want to live a self-life, you know what? Let me describe self-life again. What am I getting out of this? How is this going to benefit me? Then if you can't do that, then subjection is impossible. But when you live in what the apostle called the yet not I, when you live in the yet not I realm, submission is possible.
Amen.
See, it's not about us.
Amen.
Honestly, you don't even want to be seen. I don't care what you're doing, playing music. I don't care if you're preaching. I don't care. You don't even want to be seen.
Amen.
You want God to be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
You want God to be honored.
Mm-hmm.
You want the will of God to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle teaching on praise and worship. And praise and worship is to put is to bring God's presence on the scene where you don't see nothing but God.
Mm-hmm.
Your job is to usher people in the presence of God. They don't see you. You see the presence of God.
Yeah.
But you remember performance? You talk about performance. Performance is self-life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hit that note, boy. And everybody's just screaming. Oh, boy, they got a voice. They can sing. A lot of preaching was self-life.
Yeah.
Traditional preaching was self-life.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be seen. And God said, I can't be seen for you. I can't get a revelation out for you because they're watching you and not me.
Wow.
You see it?
Yes, sir.
And so self-life is a monster when it comes to God.
Yes, sir.
And my time is ticking away. So look, finish reading
this
15th chapter. And look, I want to read Matthew 26 because that's where we're going next. Jesus in the Gethsemane.
Yes.
And this is going to be it's on the same principle with 1 Samuel 15, just going to be the master showing them how to do it right. All right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you built a good class today. Class is in it. Go in peace. I ain't never got where I wanted to get. But it was good. It was good for anyway, though.